Welcome to episode 7 of To the Moon or Margate. So, based on the last week's activity, and I've been really quiet, and I'll tell you why in a second. But based on the last week's activity, I think I'm retiring to Margate, right? So, let's have a little bit of analysis of what's going on. But before we do that, I just want to explain my absence has been due to my wife having a child. So, we had a new son. He is 2 weeks and 1 day old today. So he's kept me really busy. But while my wife has been pushing my second son out of her body, I've been keeping an eye on what's been going on in the market. And there has been a really big event during the course of this last weekend. So as you're probably aware, if you're listening to this, we've been in one hell of a bear market during 2018. It's been in a slow decline with some slight upturns, and there's been a lot of profit taking, a lot of FUD. My genuine feeling for this has been that the movement for institutional money coming in, so all of this institutional money that's planned to come in and probably is coming in at the moment, we just don't realize it. So, you know, all this institutional money that's coming in has meant that they've wanted to get a better buy price. They're not going to come and buy it 10,000 or 12,000 Bitcoin. They want to get it as low as physically possible. So it's really been this race to how they can use different tactics to manipulate the market to get the price as low as possible. And I genuinely believe that's what's been happening. I don't believe it's people in the community thinking that crypto is dead. I don't believe it's people thinking, oh my God, this is a Ponzi scheme. I genuinely believe there's been an incredible amount of manipulation using fear that's caused people to want to convert out to stable coins. And there's a lot more stable coins now. So it's a lot easier to move out of crypto into something else and then flip back again. And that's been driving the market down. And of course, when Bitcoin goes down, all of the outs go down by a bigger percentage because you have to sell your outs to Bitcoin to then sell your Bitcoin to cash. So, you know, if Bitcoin takes a hit, everything else takes a hit in a much bigger way. And pretty much everything's been affected. I mean, Ripple less so maybe. So the XRP token has come down proportionally less than others in this dip. But it's been kind of going down. And one of the things that's been happening in the background is everybody's been kind of like saying, where is the bottom? You know, I had wrongly felt the bottom was around $5,800 because we tested that a few times and it bounced right back to like $6,500. But this weekend, we hit $3,500 on Sunday. So it hit $3,500 and then it rebounded straight back up to $4,000. So there's a lot of buy orders sat around the $3,500. Now, of course, what didn't happen was it didn't push it to $6,000 or $7,000 or $8,000. Now, that could be for two reasons. It could be all of this happened on a Sunday. So there maybe wasn't so many people at the trading desk doing this stuff. Or it may genuinely be that 3,500 isn't the bottom. And maybe, you know, a lot of people have been talking about 3,000 maybe being the bottom and people like round numbers. So, you know, maybe it's 3,500, maybe it's 3,000. Whatever the bottom is, I think we're probably due a retest of it because yes, Bitcoin settled around $4,000 since that happened, but it hasn't gone up to five and it's not shown a huge amount of volume of growth. So I do imagine that we'll be retesting the 3,500. We might also be, you know, testing 3,000 and hopefully that's the bottom. I mean, like I said, if anybody's listened to this at the beginning or anybody that I know personally, you know, for me, this is a, you know, 2 to 5 year investment. So whatever happens in the, you know, in the first year is just kind of part of the journey. And we went through this with .com, right? You know, Amazon lost 95% of its value in one crash, you know, but even if you'd bought Amazon at its absolute all-time high before that 95% crash, you'd still have times 100 your money by now, you know. So this is technology that's here to stay and is progressing. But I have been asked a few questions about like, well, what do we do when it's low? What do I do? So I just want to share with you my personal tactic when it hits these lows. And that is really boringly, I buy some more. Now, of course, that requires having a little bit of free cash. You know, it's been a long bear market, so every payday is an opportunity to buy something else. So I don't rush straight in and buy. I wait for it to test one of these lows. So obviously, when it hit 3,500, I was really happy because that enabled me to go and get some bags, load up some bags and some of those coins. And even in this small recovery, the coins that I bought are up 20%. So just being ready and being primed, say, okay, when it hits this point, I'm going to buy, you know, gives you an opportunity to make gains. Now, of course, it could be retested, it could go down. But because I've been buying all the way through this market, what I'm really doing is rebuying coins that I like, and I'm dollar cost averaging down. So if I bought a token at a dollar and now it's 15 cents, and that's probably realistic in this market, you know, buying a load more at 15 cents, you know, I haven't got to put so much money in to really start to cut my losses and make the recovery price a lot lower for me to break even. But like I said, I'm not speculating on projects I haven't researched. I'm looking into projects. So over the course of these dips, I've been buying ones, you know, projects that I think have got legs that I personally quite like. Bear in mind, this is not investment advice. Please do all of your own research. But projects like Power Ledger, Dent, ADA, Cardano, Amizgo, OMG. I also have been stocking up on VeChain, so the VET token, because I think that supply chain has got huge applications for blockchain technology. I watched this amazing video demo, and I'm hoping the rumors of Delta rolling it out are absolutely true. But VET offers a online and an offline physical blockchain presence using RFID. So one of the things that the airlines apparently are testing, and I've seen some demo videos and it works amazingly, is using the blockchain, and VeChain is the one position really well to offer this, and an RFID tag on your luggage. So the airline sends you out an RFID tag, you stick that on your luggage, and you don't have to check in. And you can literally, you check your baggage, you literally track your baggage everywhere. So you can see on the app where your baggage is, where it is in the airport. They can track your baggage as well, so they know what's going where, and they can make sure that the right baggage is on the right planes going to the right location. That's such a simple little solution to help you track your baggage. And VeChain are right in the middle, you know, of that kind of technology. So, you know, in the background, you know, all of these guys, yes, speculators and investors have all been trying to make some money, but in the background, these guys are just trying to get their projects off the ground. So, you know, these dips really are an amazing opportunity to buy in at prices that you couldn't have, you know, you couldn't have accumulated before. So prime example. So this weekend, I took the opportunity to get a VeChain strength node. So a strength node is 1 million tokens. Now that cost me a couple of thousand dollars. Yes, it was a couple of thousand dollars, but if I'd have bought that 6 months ago, it would have cost me over $20,000. So I've been able to get a strength node. VeChain is a coin that, as long as you hold in the wallet, you accrue this different token called VeChain Thor, which is kind of like gas in Neo. So you stake the coin effectively in the wallet. You don't need to keep your phone on all the time. You don't have to have the wallet open. Just by having the coins, you can earn VeChain Thor. And obviously, the more you hold, and if you get a node, then you get a better return for that. So, you know, I'm looking at this as a really positive thing because I believe in the technology. Now, the other thing that you can do, and just on that, so I'm not really speculating greatly on the moonshot coins, but of course, if you wanted to put 10% aside in something that you think might really grow very quick into the moon, you know, like Udo, which is the token for Howdo, you know, that launches next month, that could go to the moon, right? DGTX is another good example. LND, LenderJet, that's another one. Holochain, that's another one. So there are some ones that are very cheap tokens that could go up quite a lot, but I'm not sticking all my money in those because they're higher risk. Mostly in these dips, I'm putting good money into solid projects that I've researched that I kind of like. I would encourage you to research your own coins and decide where you think you want to put your money. But there is another option too, right? So the other option is, with this volatility, and it's almost like volatility is back, using leverage and going long or going short is another option. So at the moment, you know, probably the best website for this is BitMEX. In the cryptocurrency course, it's completely free that I've recorded. I've done a little video of how to do this in BitMEX. But let's say you look at crypto today and you say, okay, Bitcoin is currently at $3,981. I think that will go back to 3,500. You can effectively short Bitcoin and gamble that it's going to go down. And in doing that, you can use leverage of up to times 100. You know, so for every dollar it goes down, you can leverage that by 100. Now, the problem with leverage is the more leverage you lose, if it swings the other way, you lose your money a lot quicker, right? So You've got two ways to do this. You can go short if you think it's going to go down, or you can buy, you can go long if you think it's going to go up. Personally, what I've done is I think we will see a retest of 3,500, but I don't want to short Bitcoin because in the short term, it might go up before it goes down. So I've actually placed a futures order as a long. So what I've kind of said to the system is, if Bitcoin drops to $3,500, then buy a long, which is me gambling that it's going to hit that and rise back up again, using leverage to multiply what my gain would be. So I'm not shorting. I've put a small gamble on that it might hit 3,500 and then it might go up. But the point here is, and the reason why I like this tactic, is that that only executes if it hits the $3,500. If it never, ever hits $3,500, I just cancel my order, take my Bitcoin and go and invest it in something else. And in the meantime, the Bitcoin that I've set aside for that futures will have increased in value, so it goes up. So it's a real win-win. The only way I'm going to lose is if it smashes through 3,500 and goes all the way down to 3,000. And then that kind of cuts off my leverage and I get liquidated, which they call it. So BitMEX will send me a, oh, what a shame, we've liquidated your order email. And I'll be a little bit upset by that. But that's a very, very small calculated gamble, because I kind of think that we're going to retest 3,500. But if we don't, then I'll be happy because everything else is going up. I have a bit of a moral issue with shorting Bitcoin, because that's me betting on its failure. And I feel like, although I could maybe make money doing it, I don't really want to do it morally, because I'm kind of investing in things that I genuinely think are going to be good for the future. And I don't like the idea of betting against something. And if I think something isn't very good, I just kind of move on by. And, you know, there's so many projects out there, I go find something that I like, right? So, you know, but if you want to be rogue and, you know, go shorting, then maybe you want to gamble that it's going to go down. And again, you know, BitMEX offers you leverage. If you don't like the look of BitMEX, because it, some people don't necessarily say great things about it. Digitex, which is that DGTX token, that's launching soon. So that's going to allow offers on a whole range of different tokens too. So there will be more people entering into that market. So in summary, in this bear market, what I've been doing is accumulating coins in the big dips, projects that I like, and I'm placing some strategic longs in BitMEX when the token hits a really low point. But I also just wanted to go through some of the points with you, right? So, you know, a lot of people call this stage capitulation, which is like, and I've actually seen in a few of the Telegram groups, people that have been in crypto for, you know, a good while saying, I think I'm done. And what they basically mean is not necessarily they don't believe in crypto, but emotionally they're done. It's a roller coaster. Like, I just got to get out. I can't do this anymore. So, you know, I feel this really is the capitulation stage. And people say, I'm just going to sell. And of course, this is the worst time to sell. You know, unless you're confident Bitcoin's going to a dollar, then I wouldn't sell because we think it's going to come back. So I just want to fire some things at you. So if you're sat listening or driving, listening or having a run, just let some of these things sink in, right? Because, you know, I read this brilliant post yesterday shared by a good friend of mine, called Stephen, and I read it and I thought, you know what, that's absolutely perfect and I'd like to share it. So this is a blog post from a guy called Think Outside the Blocks on Medium, and let me just read it out to you, right? So why do Bitcoin and crypto assets have no future when the New York Stock Exchange is creating the cryptocurrency trading platform backed in collaboration with Microsoft and Starbucks with physically backed Bitcoin futures contracts? And they are launching in January, a little bit later than expected, due to unprecedented demand for the system. So that is coming. Fidelity, they have a $7.4 trillion investment arm. That's how much they have to spend on behalf of their clients to invest. They are now offering cryptocurrency. Steve Wozniak from Apple has just co-founded a crypto asset investment firm. The inventor of Mozilla is promoting the BAT token. Amazon Web Services has just partnered with Qtum. Bill Gates, who said crypto was a scam, is utilizing Ripple's Interledger protocol to help them offer banking to the unbanked and financial services to the impoverished. IBM is partnering with XLM Stellar Lumens to offer their customers cross-border payments. In the background, why bankers are saying how Bitcoin is terrible, places like JP Morgan and Morgan Stanley are buying Bitcoins in every single dip. This year, we'll also see Major League Baseball launching its own crypto-backed game using Ethereum and more. It goes on, right? So interestingly, Alibaba and IBM have the most blockchain patents in the world. And there's so many examples. You know, Goldman Sachs Circle has launched as a finance company. Twitter's Jack Dorsey's other company, which is called Square, which is a cash app, now is doing more value in Bitcoin than in fiat currency. Coinbase is valued at $8 billion. You know, it is just going on and on. There are so many good stories, and I'm not going to read the whole article out because it's just so long as you go down. But, you know, we're here because we think these things are going to stay, right? We think because, yes, you know, talking about going to the moon, that's a joke, right? But, you know, the whole point is we're investing in projects that we think are genuinely going to be the future. And crypto is going to be, in my point of view, the largest opportunity for wealth transfer in my generation. You know, my parents had property. They could go and buy property. I guess they also had the tech stocks, which I was probably a bit too young to kind of take advantage of. You know, this is the next big wave. And I think the people that are in early, yes, it's emotional. Yes, it's painful. The best way to deal with the emotion is to not invest something that you can't lose. So, you know, if you think of it like going out for a good night and playing some roulette and you're willing to gamble this money, then you'll feel a lot less emotional about it than if you're doing stuff that you really kind of shouldn't. You know, you shouldn't be taking out loans or buying stuff on credit cards because it's just so volatile, you know. But some people just get addicted to gambling, and that's kind of where it goes, right? So, you know, if it's not crypto, it'll be something else. It'll be the horses, it'll be the dogs, whatever, right? But, you know, I think as long as you can get around the emotion and you can ride out these lows, then, you know, you're going to get the rewards in the highs. So that's my bell to say that's your time up, Jason. Please go get on some work. But I did just want to record this to say, hopefully, you found that of interest. Let's see if we break 3.5 again. I'll keep an eye and I will record what happens and see if I was remotely correct or whether it just kept growing. So take care, guys, and be safe out there.